This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
I'm all things are rolling. 7 minutes
in. Let me make sure I'm recording. I am. Perfect.
Minutes in. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. You ready?
You go right ahead.
All right, great. Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 70 for Monday, July 23rd, 2018.
This week on the Two Bobs, we have an exciting episode because every episode is exciting. It would sound bad if we said we have a really kind of mediocre or boring episode coming up. So we have an exciting episode. Thank you. Coming up, we're going to talk about the beers and meads we're drinking. We're going to talk about the death of the straw.
Lay's has got some surprising new flavors of chips. And this week, we've got extra, extra, extra large dose of crazy news.
And I'm going to eat Cheez-Its. I have Cheez-It crackers grooves stuck in my teeth now.
You know, some of those foods I've eaten before I've come down here because I knew we were going to have beer and I wanted to make sure my stomach was okay. I've made the mistake a few times of eating something that kind of gets stuck in your throat where you have to like
jelly
clear
beans.
Anything of that sort of some candies, just stuff that really gets stuck back there and it's not really conducive to penis. Sounding well on an episode.
No, I would agree with that. And I mean, usually I just drink beer. I don't eat, but. So you texted me a picture of some Cheez-Its that you were eating at work earlier, and yeah. I was under the impression you'd be eating them on the show tonight. So I no. snuck some. We were at Meijer today doing some grocery shopping, and I was off work today, so we wanted to do some grilling, and so we were picking up some stuff for that. And so I came across these Cheez-It grooves. They're it actually says right in the box, best of Cheez-It and a chip in one. So they're... Yeah. They're not just like a new flavor of Cheez-It. They're kind of like a hybrid between a Cheez-It and a chip. And these are the Zesty Cheddar Ranch ones, and they're actually quite good. I'm a fan of them. They have these spicy ones that I might have to get next time. But
yeah, you went through the safe route and you went the ranch. But I think the spicy ones, like I told you a little while ago before we got on here, but I had I think they were Pepper Jack and I liked the Tabasco. So I like those. So I might have to try that. I've seen them and I don't like to venture too far away from just the regular Cheez-It because I think they're pretty perfect as they are. But if they're on sale, maybe I'll grab a box and see.
Well, that's exactly what it was, is they were on sale and Kelly wasn't looking. So in the cart they went. But I went with the Cheddar Ranch ones because, you know, in an effort to try not to be a terrible husband, Kelly's not into spicy food, but she does love ranch, and who doesn't love cheddar? So I kind of got them so that way she could have some as well.
Yeah, so it's not a total dick move, just throwing something in there that you like. If you're going to sneak it in, at least make it so, oh, look what I got these for you. I thought we would try them.
That's what she said.
Sounds good. Well, we've got a lot going on today. We don't have a whole lot. I guess we can always talk about the usual bullshit, but I think people are tired about that. So let's start our beer and then see where that takes us.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, bartender, another beer.
So, still got some shit in my teeth. Okay, so this week, this is what happened. We were at Meijer, and I'm like, oh, shit, I got to grab a beer for tonight. So I saw this one. And all I saw was it has a really like badass label on the bottle. It's kind of
scary. Don't put it too close to the camera.
Demon or something like that. And it said mango on it. I'm like, and it was by the craft beer. So I'm like, all right, that sounds really good. So I grabbed it, and then I got home and looked. It's actually not a beer. It's a mead. Which I don't know if you know the difference, but
I don't know.
A mead is essentially it's an alcoholic beverage. It's like not a beer. It's not a wine. But it's made with, the sweetness comes from fermented honey. So this particular, I guess, meadery is what they call it, is based out of Ferndale, Michigan. It's called Bee Nectar B period, yeah. And then nectar is N-E-K-T-A-R. And, you know, essentially they make mead, cider, and beer. So this is the Necro Mango. Wait, hold on. It's Necro, also known as Necro Mango Con. And,
yeah, it says the defining characteristic of mead is that the majority of the beverage's fermentable sugar is derived from honey. For example, Hungarians hold that while mead is made of honey, water, and beer yeast, honey wine is watered honey fermented by a recrement of grapes or other fruits.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. So it's not necessarily a beer, but I figure, well, shit, I bought it, and it looks cool, so I'm going to drink it on the episode, and it still has alcohol in it. So, you know, end effect will be approximately the same as drinking a beer. But anyway, so according to their website here, it says, many years ago, a mysterious book was discovered by a group of friends in a Ferndale, Michigan basement.
Oh, no.
A translation of its contents revealed the recipe for an ancient beverage using mango juice, honey, and black pepper. What they didn't realize
mango
was
juice.
That was, shut up, was creating the beverage had that, hold on, what they didn't realize was that, I'm trying to be intense here, you're ruining
it. Okay, sorry.
What they didn't realize, Robert, damn it, was that creating the beverage had dire consequences.
Rhea.
Stricken by fear after its completion, the friends tried to contain the terrifying forces into this very bottle. Once opened, however, no one can say for sure if it can be conquered. Defend your soul or Jonah. Join. Fuck. Defend your soul or fucking join us, motherfuckers. So this it's a mango and black pepper mead. It says its appearance is a straw gold with quickly dissipating head. It poured very thin. It is like a gold color, see-through.
It's like a Chardonnay you got in a glass.
Yeah, there. I feel like I'm drinking a fucking Merlot here. Or not even. It's a, I got a Pinot Grigio here. I got a fucking Riesling. I don't know.
Anyway, failing pile of garbage.
I know. Trump probably drinks this shit. But anyway, it's sweet and floral mango notes, followed by spicy black pepper, spicy yeast character. It's a fruity mango wine. I'm drinking fucking wine tonight. Damn it. Backed with by citrusy honey brightness, finishes with lively black pepper. It's light carbonation, creates a crisp, clean feel that washes away quickly. Very drinkable. It's 100% gluten-free, in case anybody was concerned about that. 6% alcohol by volume. This is a 500 milliliter bottle, but you can also get 1/6 barrel kegs for those special occasions.
For when friends are over.
Food pairings include sushi, ginger, Thai, or Indian curries, most Middle Eastern, South Asian cuisines. It's very food friendly, according to the company that makes this particular meat. So I'm going to try a little bit here. Liquid fecal excrement. So you do get that honey, and it definitely does not taste like a beer. It doesn't taste like a beer at all. No, but you know what? If I'm looking for something kind of a sweet beverage,
yeah,
kind of something that that goes summer. Good for like a warm day where you're just kind of relaxing and kind of a like a casual drink or something to eat with food. This is actually a pretty good pairing with that type of situation. I mean, it's you do get the notes of honey in definitely the mango, so it has that citrusy kind of kick to it when you first taste it. But then it is followed up by that black peppery taste, which is really interesting because it's not evident when you're drinking, but you kind of get a little bit of just kind of a peppery aftertaste, not overbearing, but you can definitely taste that black pepper. I guess, you know, for a mead, I don't know. It's good. It's definitely not a beer.
Your favorite mead?
I mean, I'm going to drink it because I mean, I got it in a glass here and I didn't bring anything else because I pre-drank tonight. But, yeah, I mean, again, it's, if you find it, you know, it's not bad. And the bottle looks pretty cool if nothing else. So, yeah, pick one up. This one was at Meijer, and that's what I get for buying in a hurry because I had two kids with me.
And a box of Cheez-It ruffles or whatever. Yeah, these were.
It you know, it pairs well with Cheez-It Grooves,
Zesty
Cheddar Ranch.
Too funny.
Well, what hopefully you brought a beer.
I did, and I'm reading about it. And a while back, shit, probably episode 22, 25, around that area, we had some Left Hand, and I had a Left Hand Nitro Milk Stout, and I didn't know what that was. And in my head, a Nitro was a coffee-flavored beer or a beer that had some coffee in it. And you explained to me after I had already poured it that you had to pour it hard, basically turning the whole bottle upside down and letting it kind of come out. So,
well, yeah, because it's infused with nitrogen rather than carbonation. So it has a kind of a little bit smoother, like milk, smoother, not as much of a carbonated or airy presence than a carbonated beverage. But yeah, you pour that shit hard and just let it. It looks really pretty too when you do it right.
Well, Left Hand, and I think through that and through some other beers that we've had, I've liked to look for them. And this one jumped out at me when I was at the store at Total Wine. And what I've got is a Left Hand Brewing Wake Up Dead Imperial Stout. So it kind of goes with, well, at least what I thought was your badass bottle. But see, it's got a little skull and some pretty cool lettering and stuff on it. So
yours looks cool. Mine is like nightmare fuel, though.
Until you pour it and you realize that you're drinking a wine made with honey. But this one's actually a beer. And again, it's the Wake Up Dead Imperial Stout. And it's actually I don't want to say it too loud because I don't want, well, not like the Black Copters are going to come. They'll probably promote me, but it's a Russian Imperial Stout.
Oh, man. Brewed by Putin himself.
You are fake news.
So it says, a smooth, warming stout with malt flavors of raisins, licorice, coffee, and dark chocolate. Good morning, you've woken up dead. You're in ruins, but don't be discouraged. Here's a black ale to brighten your day. Wake Up Dead lurks in our cellars for over 4 months before being unleashed. Hints of raisins, black licorice, coffee, and dark chocolate are followed by earthy, herbal hop notes. Any apprehensions about the rest of your day are quickly forgotten, for whatever the mind expects, it finds. And this is a limited beer. It, again, is a Russian Imperial Stout, and it is 10.2% alcohol by volume, 45 IBUs, available in a 22-ounce bomber or a keg, but I happen to have it here in just the standard 12-ounce bottle. And I've had a little bit of it, but I'm going to go ahead and take a sip and see if I can taste some of these flavors that they're telling me that I'm going to taste.
Please do. That's a really good Cheez-It.
It's good. Well, now I need Cheez-Its to go with this, but I do get a bit of everything in there. I get the black licorice, and that's providing kind of the bite to it. And black licorice has a very unique flavor. I do get the coffee, the bitterness of the dark chocolate, and kind of the sweet of the raisins all at different times. They don't really hit you all at the same time, but they all are present. And kind of on the finish, I've got the earthy herbal hop notes. I don't really quite, but I do feel kind of the earthiness. So I really like it. It's got just a bit of everything in there that makes it unique enough to try it. So I think you've been able to get Left Hand up there. So I look for it if you can, and check out Untappd and see if they've got it somewhere near you. But I like it a lot. I haven't rated it yet. And here's my phone. I'm going to put it in at a 4.25 on
Untappd. Oh, so well received.
Yeah. And it's strong too. And it is warming me up. Although it is a little more humid today.
Mine got a 3, I believe.
Well, you were being generous.
That it kind of was. It was me, like, well, because, you know, it's like having to go on Untappd and rate a fucking lampshade or something like that. I mean, it doesn't mean it's not a bad lampshade. It just means it's not a beer. So I feel like if I rated it really, really poorly, it's kind of like, well, it's my fault that I picked this up and not a beer today. And so, like, yeah. I feel like the people over at Bee Nectar shouldn't have to pay.
Well, you're probably more disappointed that it's not a beer than that it doesn't taste that good. Does that make sense? Where you're expecting a beer and you go to drink it and it's not, or you find out that it isn't, but in your mind's head, you've got your, which I guess it is your mind's eye. I was going to say your mind's eye, but in your head, you kind of have it set that you're going to be drinking a beer. So you, the three is probably more disappointment than anything. And it's, the bottle looks like a beer. It's a brown bottle.
Yeah. And it's got fucking nutrition facts on it. Who puts that? This beer, just in case you want to know, it has 209 calories, 22 grams of carbohydrates. It has ingredients on it. Fucking, you know, I should have known. I should have known. But, you know, again, I had an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 4-year-old, you know, right there. And I always feel like a terrible father because I'm looking at beer with my kids standing there. And so I just picked it up real quick, but that's all right. It's good for what it is.
Now, do you think if you drink that again, would you drink it maybe using a straw?
No, I would actually just, I you know what? If I drink it again, I'd probably just do it rectally.
It probably won't tastes have to better taste that way.
It. I think it'll hit me faster and I won't have to taste it.
Well, one thing, I'm super excited about this, and I put it in here last week.
Smell like honey. That's weird.
I put it in here last week.
What, honey?
And I'm excited that the world is finally going away from straws. And I can't remember if we talked about it way back when we did our judging episode. But I tend to judge any adult that's using a straw with anything that's not, let's say, a milkshake or a smoothie. Those, I mean, with certain exceptions, you know. The,
what if you pick up a Diet Coke from McDonald's? You judge?
No, you take the top off. Throw that shit in the trash.
What?
Well, you know, they don't have any way to recycle it. But if I'm at my house, I'll put the little cap in the recycle. But no, none of that. No Starbucks, the lid, gone. Even in the car, I'll take it off and I'll just drink it. Because I'm an old man. I'm not a kid. I don't need a straw. I'm 45 years old.
It's not about needing a straw, though. It's about it's convenient. Because especially if you're going somewhere, if you're traveling... You hit a bump. You don't have shit flying all over the inside of your car. It's not about I'm incapable of drinking.
Your arm is like a shock absorber. Your arm kind of you just hold it.
Robert,
if I have a
drink in one hand, what hand is going to hold my phone while I drive?
How am I going to text, eat this cheeseburger, and drink my coffee?
No, but seriously though, I mean, for me, it's not about I need a straw. It's just kind of convenient to have it. If I'm just not sitting at a table, I find that it's definitely more convenient. But that's just me. But anyway, so before I punch you through my screen, Starbucks is eliminating straws globally by 2020, and I started noticing because I'm a fan of their cold brews.
Yeah, they're already changing.
And I started getting these cold brews with these plastic lids.
Yeah, that, the sippy cup. Know,
it's kind of a sippy. Yeah, so we've graduated
which is more childish than
sippy cups. Congratulations, Robert. This is what you've done to us. So we have these sippy cups now,
and it won't tip over.
I'm not going to lie, though. I do like the sippy cups. I had one today. I like the sippy cups, but. So Starbucks is eliminating plastic straws globally by 2020 and replacing them with these sippy cup lids or alternative material straw options. I don't know what exactly they're going to make the straw out of, if not plastic.
Well, they have them. They're going to be paper, or they're going to be hemp. Other. Yeah, I think because the straw that they're actually using and many use is not something that can be recycled. So they want to be able to. At least have something that can be recycled that's not going to stick in the earth forever, like styrofoam. Yeah. But I forgot what she wanted.
Drink mine through a garden hose.
There was that lid was not even developed by Starbucks. They put out an all call for people to design things, and this person won the contest, and I forget exactly how much she won.
It was an 18-month-old.
No. But
is it Gerber on that lid?
No, but I saw it last week at Starbucks.
Drink my wine.
They had them, and I do the order ahead, and I go in and pick it up. And
I feel like I'm at church drinking this.
Who's this short new room?
Body of Christ, amen. Blood of Christ. Oh, it's the blood of Christ, sorry.
Dirt on your forehead.
No, the Cheez-Its is the body of Christ.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I'm going to get a priest to bless these for me.
But I don't know. So you'll be seeing these things out there, and I'm excited. And they freak out at you. Like they'll hand me the drink and they'll have the straw on it. And it's kind of changing now with this push because they think you're just doing it because you want to be environmentally friendly. But I'll hand them the straw back. I mean, the longest time they kind of freak out. Their eyes get really big. Like, you don't want a straw? Like, no, I'd take the cap off and throw it there on the counter. No, I don't need this. And then I drink it. But usually before I get in the car, I'll drink, you know, some of it down so that when I'm pulling out of the parking lot, it doesn't spill all over the cup holder. But I've been known to drink out of a regular coffee mug in the car and all that. I don't like certain things. I don't know if you know that yet.
Cool story, Robert.
Well, now the straws are gone, but yeah, it's funny that you've already experienced that with the little sippy cup because that's what it reminds me of. Even though I said that the straws are for children, the sippy cup is even worse. But hey, if it's going to help the earth, they say to drink a shit ton of coffee, and even McDonald's is getting involved in this with new cups too. So it'll be everything's going to be changing soon.
TTB070. Bob K is a pretentious asshole. Boom.
I'm a lot of things.
Hey, Robert, did you hear about this new Lay's flavors?
Well, yes, I did.
Yeah, because I have the new Cheez-It flavors here.
Yeah.
And turns out their Lay's is going to town with different flavors of chips, according to Food Beast here. And I say we go through them.
Yeah.
Let our listeners know what's up.
Not any of these new ones, but I've seen some of these, Siri, and I've had, Siri, I think it was a...
fuck up. Sorry, Siri's being a little whore.
I think I had a bacon cheeseburger one time, or it was a Taco Bell pizza flavored one. And no surprise that I don't really like a whole lot of that stuff because it's, if I want to eat a taco, I'm going to eat a taco. And if I want to eat a cheeseburger, I'm not going to eat a potato chip, but I might be willing to
try
some of
these. There was one clever flavor of Pringles I had a couple years ago. It was like Coney Island hot dog or something like that, but it was basically, ooh, it tasted like hot dog with chili and mustard.
Without the burp.
And I'm dead serious. It tasted very much like that, and they were really good. We kept eating them at work, but
I got fat. That's all right. Well, the first one looks pretty good, and the mead's going to your head. We're both big fans of pizza, and the first one is Giordano's deep dish pizza. So that might be kind of good.
That sounds good. And Giordano's that's like they're the definition of Chicago style pizza, though, and it's just so good. You could order. I don't know if we ever talked about it. You can order Giordano's
taste
pizza.
Taste of Chicago.
Yeah, you can order Giordano's pizza online. And they like half bake it and then they put it on dry ice and they charge you like $80 and then you get a pizza in the mail that you can finish baking yourself and enjoy Giordano's.
Yeah, I think it's Taste of Chicago, and they've got a place from, I can't remember the name of it, but if I saw it there, that does a good Italian sausage and Italian beef and sausage. So I might have to do that because they also do a pizza as well. So.
Call Giordano's.
Maybe. No, it's not with a P.
Yeah, that's
the next one looks good.
That one is stupid. You should eat Giordano's.
I'd try it.
Oh, yeah. The next one, New England lobster roll.
Probably tastes like shit on a chip, but I do like a lobster roll, so I'd be willing to try it.
I'd try it, but I don't know, like lobster roll flavored chips. Maybe it's delicious. Maybe I eat it and then throw up in my mouth a little bit. Who knows? So next one is
Portillo's, this place I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Giordano's is better. Next one, pimento cheese, a classic dish from the South and Southeast U.S. I don't know about that one.
Melon likes pimentos. She'd probably eat these.
I mean, it's probably like cheese and a little bit of spice to it would be my guess. I don't know.
This one I wouldn't eat, and I've had Doritos has a similar one that's got like a chili or a sweet chili flavor, and I don't like them. Madeline can eat a whole bag of them, but this is a Thai sweet chili, and I'm passing on that.
I have to eat a Cheez-It to get rid of the aftertaste from the mead. Well, where do you want these fish bags? Exactly. Next one, fried pickles with ranch. Ooh. Probably do you like fried pickles?
I do. I like pickles. I like fried pickles. I like ranch. I was talking to somebody about it today about the chips, and it came up really not even related to this, but she said that she likes the dill pickle flavored chips. And I had the whole same thing. If I'm biting into something that tastes like a pickle, it better be a pickle. It's not a chip.
Yeah, but I do like fried pickles, so I'd still try it again. I mean, B-Dubs has awesome fried pickles, and ranch is always a win. Next, this is another one I kind of don't know about. Chesapeake Bay crab spice. Again, I love crab. I like spicy food. Mash it up and put it into a chip, though.
No. And they already have Old Bay flavored. I think Utz makes them, and I think that's probably what this is supposed to be. And even living near Baltimore for a period and being in this area where this is big stuff and people love their Old Bay, I've never acquired a taste for it.
I don't know.
Next one, I could eat the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I'd eat the bag when I'm done just because it has a little bit of the flavor still on it.
Chili con queso.
Mm-hmm.
No extra explanation needed.
Chili, good. Cheese, good. Chips, good.
All right. Con.
Cajun spice. I'd eat Cajun spice.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's just probably this like spicy chips, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sign me up. Sign me up. I'd at least try all of these. I don't know if I'd enjoy all of them, though.
If I could get them in a smaller bag that was just the usual $1, $1.30 bag, whatever they cost. But I think they were trying to go for more regional flavors. At least that's how they explained it on the news when I saw it this morning. But again, might be worth a shot.
Let's do it. So when do they come out? Does it say when they come out? Are they already out? They just announced new flavors.
Yeah.
They'll be out soon. They'll be at a store near you, and you should try them, and then let us know how it is. And try the Chesapeake crab spice ones, and if they suck, let us know so we won't bother with them.
Thanks. Well, that's what I wonder, if these are going to be available everywhere. But it's July 30th.
So this region exclusive. All these new flavors will have region exclusive launches. You can only find each product in the area it was inspired by. So, in other words, the deep dish pizza may only be in physical stores in places like Chicago. Well, that's stupid.
So I'll get the Old Bay, but I'll be curious to see which one of those is closest. Yours is probably the Chicago pizza.
Pickles?
You're closer to Chicago than anything else. South and Southeast.
So, Pacific, Thai sweet North chili, West. Do you have to go to Thailand for them then?
No, it tells you. Let's see, where is it? Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, that's stupid.
So, yeah, the Old Bay ones, that'll be around here. Tex-Mex favorite. And you can order them online starting on the 30th. So it might be worth seeing what the cost is going to be for these and ordering them up just to try them. Maybe.
Probably. All right.
We'll see. Well, now, you got a request, and I thought it was kind of good. And these things were kind of top of mind as far as the straws and the chips, just because that's who we are. And you're actually eating a variety of chip today, but... you had a request for some more crazy news, and as luck would have it, we happen to have a lot of that. So I think we'll get going.
Yeah. So elderly listener's husband, Mr. Elderly listener, said, "Hey, how about you do?" Well, he said, "How about you do an episode of All Crazy News?" But I mean, we still got to do beer and mead and other shenanigans. So.
That's really ruined your day.
Fuck this mead. I'm so pissed off that I'm drinking what's basically a wine right now. I'm just drinking a fine wine. Not even a good wine. I'm drinking
honey wine.
I'm drinking cheap honey wine. Go ahead, Robert. Let's do the crazy news stories.
It's a lot like you are drinking.
You got to swirl it and you got to swirl it and sniff it. So you can, and then I got to eat a cracker in between to cleanse my palate.
All right, hold it up to your nose again. Let me see that. All right, a couple screenshots there. We'll make that into the show art.
Oh, thank God. I knew you were up to something when you did that.
That's right. No, a little to the left. All right, well, let's get into this crazy news. We've got a lot of funny stuff this week. I hope we don't every week, but I'm pretty excited about some of these. Really all of them, but
yeah. This first one hits close to home for you, Robert.
It certainly does. And I saw it, and then it came up again on the news, and I had to laugh. But this one comes from, at least this particular link is from our friends here in Fox 5 DC. And a Virginia man calls the cops after being fouled in a basketball game, witnesses say. A friendly pickup game at an LA Fitness in Virginia took a hard turn after a player called sheriff deputies for being fouled. Today, for the first time in my life,
fucking idiot,
I experienced someone calling the police because they got fouled hard in basketball. Reads a viral tweet with a picture of deputies with two police officers. The incident occurred Monday night at the LA Fitness in Dulles Town Center. The man who shared the photo didn't want to use his name, but told Fox 5 the man who called the police also happens to be a regular and has played basketball in this facility many times.
He said the man who called authorities was being blocked by an opposing player, the man wearing the tattoo sleeves, which resulted in him falling to the floor. No punches were thrown, nothing, the witness said. It wasn't malicious, no hits to the face or anything like that. According to the witness, the man who fell was extremely upset and told the other player he was calling the police. I thought he was joking, the witness said. I thought he was being extra. But after him making his way to the front desk, the other players knew he was serious.
Fox 5 obtained the call to the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office, which was made by a front desk worker at the gym. She told the dispatcher that the gym member was assaulted on the basketball court. Another witness posted video on Twitter that showed him asking one of the deputies if he's ever responded to a basketball foul. This is my first basketball foul, said the deputy, who said he thought he was responding to a fight. Gym management confirmed that the incident occurred and the police were called. Fox 5 reached out to see if there was footage of the incident, but the gym said the basketball courts do not have surveillance footage.
The sheriff's office said neither man wanted to file a formal report because it's fucking stupid. Perhaps most bizarre about the incident was that after deputies left, the two men returned to finish the game. Everyone kept playing. That's what's so bizarre about the whole situation. Like, why did it have to be that serious, said the witness. He said he doesn't think there was some bigger issue behind what happened. You could tell it was strictly basketball, he said. There were no racial undertones or anything like that. The cops didn't even shoot the man in the back. I'm just kidding. They were black, but I mean, Fox 5 reached out to the man who called the sheriff's deputies by email. How do you call a sheriff deputy by email? What are they, new to the internet on this Fox 5 website here? They called the sheriff's deputies by email, but I've never heard. Have you called ever? You ever called, made a call by email? But we have not heard. Did Gillian write this? No.
No,
she works for the Press Herald. But we have not heard back as of Tuesday night.
Well, so, there's actually a video of it, too. So the picture he posted, which is there in the link that we'll put in the show notes, but there's also a little video on there, too, of. The guy standing in the office telling him he wants to call the police. I wonder if he won.
I don't know. I would hope.
Nobody wins in that one.
No, nope. Nobody wins. Just a bunch of losers in that one.
Now, this one, too, and this one's up your way.
Well, you know, sometimes crazy shit happens up here, too, Robert. And this particular one involves fireflies, bath salts, and allegedly lasers from aliens. Oh, man. Two Clinton County residents. Where's Clinton County?
No. Alexa, where is Clinton County?
It's in Pennsylvania, isn't it?
Clinton County, New York, is a U.S. county in upstate New York.
How is it up by me?
New York State. It shares a border with Grand Isle County, Vermont, Essex County, New York, and Franklin County, New York.
Aren't you in New York?
Yeah, no, yeah, I just moved. I relocated the entire state of Michigan into
Clinton
New York.
County. That's similar to your stomping grounds. It's got the same name.
I'm not even going to respond to that. You know, there's a London and Ontario as well. It doesn't mean it's the same one that's in England. Your reasoning behind that is just so flawed. I don't even want to get into it. But let's, hey, listen, we got We got some hard-hitting news going on here. So anyway, this is from the website CentreDaily.com. Centre. C-E-N-T-R-E, Centre. Two Clinton County residents were under the influence of bath salts and believed that fireflies were green lasers coming from aliens or people who are after them, according to state police at Lamar. Jesse Shields, 30, of Renovo, discharged a 357 Magnum. Shut the fuck up, Robert. Into the air in an attempt to scare the lasers.
Shut the fuck up, Robert.
Yeah. Alexa, go fuck yourself. Or fireflies before running into a Long Run Road residence on Saturday. Shields asked the homeowners to call 911 because he said something was chasing them. He eventually broke a window next to the front door and ran to the next door neighbor's residence.
Did he end up in the escape room?
He ended up in an escape room, which is weird. I mean, you know, he's in New York. He might as well just be in Canada. That's where that story came from. Shields and Catherine McCloskey, 22, of Mill Hall, allegedly broke the window of the screen door and entered. Shields again asked the homeowners to call 911, but he also asked if he could take a shower to get the goo that was burning him off his skin, according to police.
Just look up Catherine McCloskey here. There's too many of them. I don't know if that's her.
Call her?
Maybe. Let's get her phone Shields number. And McCloskey were each
call her email.
I'm going to call her email right now. Shields and McCloskey were each charged with one felony count of burglary.
Oh.
One felony count of criminal trespassing, one summary count of disorderly conduct, and one summary count of public drunkenness. Shields was also charged with one felony count of carrying a firearm without a license, one misdemeanor count of recklessly endangering another person, one misdemeanor count of unlawful possession, one misdemeanor count of possession of drug paraphernalia, and two additional summary charges.
What about the fireflies, though, that were injured in this? Why are they not getting defended here?
They don't, you know, they don't seem to mention animal anything cruelty, about that.
That's not a thing.
You got fireflies up there where you are? You never have those when you were a kid?
We do. I mean, they're outside when it gets dark during the summer.
I haven't seen them in a long time.
Do you have them down there?
Yeah.
We got a bunch here.
We had a lot when I was a kid, but I haven't seen them in a long time.
Yeah, we see the northern lights, and I'm just kidding. Yeah. We're not that far north.
Global warming.
No aurora borealis here.
Now, both were arraigned before District Judge Keith Kibler, who set the bail at $250,000 for Shields and $15,000 for McCloskey. Neither posted bail, and both are being detained at the Clinton County Correctional Facility. Preliminary hearing for Shields and McCloskey is scheduled for July 10th. So that's already happened.
Which is come and gone. I hope it worked out well for them. And, yeah. I don't know.
The fireflies have left them alone.
I don't know what else to say about this, Robert, other than clearly we got to get our hands on some bath salts.
That would be sweet.
Tripping balls on bath salts, shooting guns at alien lasers, breaking into your neighbor's house, and then asking them to call 911 and asking to take a shower to get the goo off.
We need a whole new drop if we were doing bath salts instead of what are we drinking. You know who does like bath salts?
Do our own drop.
Our friend Vlad. Now, I've got people that are up in this particular area, and I don't know if it's still the same way, but I saw this on the Huffington Post, and have you ever been to New York City?
I have.
Down the financial district, you know, with you being the finance guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ever been down there? I've been down there, and the bowl is kind of one of those things. It's pretty cool to see down there. It's right down there next to Wall Street, but evidently it's been decorated this week with all the news, I guess we should say, whether it's right, wrong, or fake. But
now, is there a bear down there too, or is it just the bull?
As far as I know, just the bull.
Okay.
That's probably the Merrill Lynch bull. But recent visitors to Wall Street to see the famous Charging Bull sculpture got a little something extra on Monday. On top of the statue sat a shirtless man wearing a mask of Russian President Vladimir Putin. The rest of the bowl was completely covered with rainbow color assortment of sex toys, Rob.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of dongers sticking on its head and other parts of its body. And
everywhere.
and every a guy color and who everything. Apparently is an out of shape Vladimir Putin sitting on top. Vladimir Putin with a dad bod sitting on a penis bowl.
A man named Jeff Jetton is taking credit for the prank, interpreted by some as a commentary on how Putin seems to be controlling the U.S. Jetton told HuffPost he agreed with that statement, but wants to let people construe the prank as they see fit. He also said he used more than 130 dildos to decorate the bull, all of them donated by an adult entertainment company.
Can you mention anybody? Can you mention that yeah. phone call to the adult entertainment company? Hi, so I plan on, I wonder if you guys have any rubber dongers just hanging around, maybe, you know, used, not used, slightly used,
suction at least, cups on.
You know, disinfected, worst case. Yeah, with suction cups on the end, what I'm going to do is dress like Vladimir Putin and stick them to a bowl on Wall Street. So if I could get 100 and, you know, 150 dildos. Oh, what's that? You have 130 I can get. Perfect. That's the perfect amount of dildos.
They got rainbows.
Yeah, do you have them in all different colors and shapes and sizes? Why are the black ones all bigger than the other ones?
It's all perspective, Rob.
Apparently.
If you squint.
Anybody who tells you sex toys aren't good, tools of resistance, has never had a bag of dicks and a little bit of ingenuity. He said in a statement to HuffPost, apparently the Putin mask wasn't a good enough disguise. Jetton says he was contacted by the New York City Police Department on Tuesday evening. I think it's for a non-criminal code violation. Jeff told HuffPost the officers were kind of laughing when they cited me. Daily Beast reports that Jetton, a ramen shop owner in Washington, D.C., took it upon himself to investigate possible Trump-Russia connections using publicly available information. People on Reddit had their own theories as to who might have pulled off the prank, especially because the statue is located in an area that is patrolled by police 24 hours a day.
In one bizarre scenario, a Redditor suggested cops were behind the statue's new look. And another person piggybacked on that theory by suggesting that all of these sex toys they've been confiscating from prostitutes for decades have finally been put to use. As you might expect, the statue also got tongues wagging on Twitter.
I'm going to top off my mead here.
I'm done with mine. I wish I had another one. At Game of Crypto says today is a great day for hashtag crypto. Someone stuck a fake Putin and 100 dildos on the Wall Street bull. I don't know what the significance of this is, but it has to be good for the market, right? And at Rusty Bertrand says, this morning in Lower Manhattan, someone got a life-sized fake Putin on the Wall Street bull and covered it with dildos. HuffPost reached out to the sculptor, the man who created the charging bull, to get his reaction, but did not immediately respond.
I think that the art, Mr. DeModica, who's the sculptor who created it, probably didn't picture it with Putin and a bunch of penises on it.
I don't know how long the thing's been there, but I think it's a long time. The nose is all tarnished from people touching it. So that's probably not what he had in mind, but that's all right.
I feel like less people are going to touch it now.
Well, I was laughing when you were reading that story because I had read through it, but it didn't really jump out at me until you got to it, and I wrote down a show title. Do you remember what yours was? Did you write it down in your little notepad there?
Bob K is a pretentious asshole.
Well, mine's pretty close to that. Stucci B070 bag of dicks.
That's funny, too. You know there's a website where you can order a bag of dicks and have it sent to somebody?
We've talked about that, but I don't know if we did it on the show or if we just did it another time. We've been at this for a long time now.
We've been thinking about doing it for a long time at work. We just have to. We would love to send somebody a bag of dicks. But speaking of a bag of dicks,
speaking of dicks.
This next story is quite the opposite.
You have another. You gonna have another mead?
I'm still working on. I'm still nursing this one best I can. I had a beer. I had to figure it out. Stout from Griffin Claw before I started recording.
I got a Dewclaw Dirty Little Freak.
Oh, nice.
I don't remember. It's a brown ale, I think.
Yeah, I've had it before. It's good.
Yeah.
So the next one here, comes from the Mirror in out of the UK. It says a tattoo addict has genitals removed because they were they interfere with his aesthetic enjoyment.
Yep, you got his last name there.
Let's see here. Oh yeah, here we
go. Ashbishek Shekdev.
It's Ashbishek Shekdev. No, it's a man who has had 90% of his body covered in black ink, decided to have his genitals removed after they interfered with the aesthetic enjoyment of his blackened physique. Adam Curlykale, 32, from Kaliningrad in Russia, decided to begin to tattoo his body after he was diagnosed with cancer.
Does he have the P-tape?
Adam, who has even had his eyeballs tattooed, also has albinism and felt depressed by his pale skin. So he decided to have the whole thing inked.
Probably used the straw.
Jesus Christ.
He did. What the hell is wrong with you? Tattooed himself black.
It's like a permanent black face he's got going on there.
Tattoo.
Dude, this guy's
even his eyes.
He has eyes tattooed.
Yes, it's possible. And he did it. I guess he's...
So is he not actually black? It's so hard to tell.
No, he's not, but he had himself tattooed, and he even...
Looks like a Kenyan.
Guess maybe... It was so painful to have his junk tattooed. He just had it removed, but having his eyeballs tattooed, that's fine. And he might be... I can't tell. There's no, like, before picture of him. He could be... I mean, he's Russian. I mean, I'm stupid.
He looks
American,
like a black Colonel Sanders with no hair.
Yeah, his hair is completely white.
What the fuck? Oh man! After you want to read the next chunk here?
I'm gonna try.
I can't even read anymore. I'm just looking at these pictures.
After getting to a whopping 90% tattoo coverage, he felt that his penis ruined his look. So he paid to undergo the extreme surgery. He shared pictures with his fans on social media after he had his penis, nipples, and testicles removed. He became famous in 2017 after taking part in the TV show Second Face in Poland, where he said he wanted the tattoos to cover the blemishes that were left behind by cancer, or by the cancer.
Penis was a blemish?
You gotta be specific. He eventually beat the cancer, but while in recovery, he had been left with a weakened immune system and was depressed by this and the fact that his skin looked sickly and pale. When doctors diagnosed him with albinism, he had started adding tattoos and discovered a passion for the art. Let's see, saw the results. Now, if you take a sheet of paper and you start in the top left corner and work your way to the bottom right corner with a black crayon and completely black out the paper, is that I guess that's still considered art? There's not real tattoos on him. He's completely blacked out.
I don't know. I've been to like museums and some of the stuff that I see on the wall, I'm just like, fuck, I should have done that. I can paint a red canvas and just put a white line down the middle of it. Fuck.
Hey, like, Harrison, that's yours.
Damn, it looks like a ping pong table. I should have done that. This fucker has made millions with this fucking thing here. So this is the thing. So he didn't want to feel...
His girlfriend.
He didn't want to feel gross by, you know, having blemishes. But now he's the guy that doesn't have a dick or a nutsack or nipples for that matter.
In the last picture of him with his girlfriend holding hands.
Yeah, his girlfriend's cool with this? No, there's more pictures than that.
Look at her. She's cool with a lot of stuff, my friend.
No, you go further down, and it's a picture of him. He's got like a catheter. He's got a fucking puzzle on his leg. So it says right here.
I feel terrible for him that he's gone through all this, but this is an extreme way. Although, I mean, everybody's different. It's hard to know exactly what he was really going through.
His current skin color is graphite.
This is really extreme.
It matches my truck.
Yeah. Does he have CarPlay?
I don't know.
And there, his skin.
There's
is
a
light,
spot so between his legs. He can probably stick a lightning cable now.
wireless charging all the way.
How I gotta ask the obvious question here. If you're a man, if you're a man and you don't have a dick, how do you piss? First off, how do you still have a girlfriend?
Well, yeah.
But how do you piss though? How do you go? How do you relieve yourself? Because you know, I mean, from all I see, there's only one spot that can come out.
They got to leave something there. We'll actually get to it.
He's got a tiny little vagina.
We'll get to it here in the last crazy news story, which is a very similar thing. And our friends at World News Daily Report will probably explain. We'll probably explain a little bit more to us. But it started out as kind of funny, and then as we got through it, I really feel bad for the guy. If he had to go to this extreme, you know, I don't know. I feel bad. This is crazy. This is the craziest, crazy news story we have done. Episode 70, a year and a half, more than a year and a half in. This is probably the craziest one
we've ever clearly done. The person who wrote this was a passion piece for them.
And this is, every now and then we'll throw in a bullshit story, and this is real. Well, we've got the pictures to prove it. This is real.
We should, when we're reading this, we should have like Sarah McLachlan music, like Arms of an Angel, like, an ASPCA commercial playing just to help get people into the right mood from an emotional standpoint to deal with a piece of news like this one. I'm going to let you, Robert, go ahead and do the honors of letting our listeners know what the story is and the seriousness behind it.
Well, I'm looking up, he's got an Instagram. He is adam.curlykale on Instagram, and there's pictures of him.
Well, I didn't realize that we hadn't moved on yet to the next story.
Well, we have, but I was just kind of intrigued by looking at more.
You do that. I'm going to eat cheese that grooves and drink my mead.
God damn it. You can't bring those if you're not going to share.
Take my little sip of mead. It's not my fault. I thought you were going to bring your own.
I should have. All right. Well, I just sent you his Instagram. You can take a look at it. The final story that we've got here from our crazy news segment, and it comes from our friends at World News Daily Report. And if you've been a fan of the Two Bobs for any length of time, you know the World News Daily Report is really where we get our hard-hitting news. And I did take Trump's survey. Did you take it, the one I sent you yesterday?
No, absolutely
not. The one about the media?
Nope, I saw it. I read some of the questions, and then I promptly moved on with my life.
You're a better man than I. But now that I think about it, one of the questions pertained to where you get your news. And I probably should retake it and make sure that World News Daily Report is represented, because there might be something that comes out.
Where else would you go?
Well, after learning about them on the show, I wouldn't go anywhere else. But our final story, again, comes from World News Daily Report. And it's a transsexual woman sues veterinarian for $250,000 after a botched sex change operation. San Diego, California, a transsexual woman is suing a Mexican veterinarian for $250,000 after she suffered severe complications on an operating table while undergoing surgery.
Just in case somebody's only half listening, the headline is transsexual woman sues veterinarian for $250,000 after the botched sex change operation. I just want everybody to make sure they understand that it was a veterinarian that performed the operation. So, Robert.
A Mexican veterinarian.
Oh, even Chelsea better.
Chelsea Armstrong, because the veterinarians in her own neighboring town of San Diego would not perform the surgery. She had to travel to Tijuana, Mexico last month for a male-to-female reassignment surgery. Part of her penis and both of her testicles were surgically removed. And I guess she sent them to our friend Adam Curly Kale. Maybe he can use them. Armstrong claims she contacted the alleged surgeon through his website multiple times and found his prices very affordable. Manuel Jose Cristobal Mendez, a 39-year-old veterinarian, originally offered to proceed to the operation for 13,000 Mexican pesos.
It's like a buck 50.
Well, you're close. It's approximately 700 U.S. dollars. Mendez allegedly withheld the fact that he was a veterinarian and not a surgeon. According to the plaintiff, my client was never told that Mr. Mendez was in fact a veterinarian and not an accredited surgeon, and now suffers from multiple health complications and shows severe signs of depression. Armstrong's lawyer, Judith Goldenberg, told reporters, I'm going to scratch my ear while you take the next part.
I don't know where we are. Hold on.
Her Spanish was very poor.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you go ahead.
So, you think at one point, maybe
yeah, I'm listening.
I think maybe at one point she started putting two and two together after the fact. She's like, God, it was a little bit weird that they had me sitting on just a metal table
with a collar on it.
Why were they holding me down as they were performing the surgery? They had some young college age girl holding me in between her arms to make sure I didn't squirm while they were.
I might have to sign up for that.
Oh, man. Her Spanish was very poor during our email exchange. I clearly never stated that I was a surgeon. I also gave her back the money after I decided not to finish the operation, he told a local news crew. Mendez attempted to perform a sex reassignment surgery on Armstrong with little success and had to cancel the operation 17 hours into the surgery. So the doctor, the veterinarian, probably just put a cone over his head and called it a day. Armstrong,
you're done.
Okay. No, don't lick your crotch for 2 weeks. Armstrong's lawyer says Mendez removed the plaintiff's testicles and part of her penis, leaving the plaintiff with what she describes as a butchered lump instead of her original male genitalia. The plaintiff also claims the physical pain she constantly suffers from her mutilated genitals have made her life a living hell, and said she has to urinate using a straw.
Ah, that's illegal.
Oh, can't use a sippy cup for that, which she must. But if you had to urinate with a straw, would you feel like less of a person than Robert? I don't need this damn urinating straw.
That's for children.
I just go in my car. Just let it spray everywhere. It's probably, I mean, if half the penis is gone, it's probably like, you know, like when you're running a hose and you put your thumb over the end of it and it just kind of sprays in all different directions.
Probably.
Oh, man. She's got to put the straw.
Yeah,
she got to put it into her urethra, and apparently it's uncomfortable.
During male to female sex reassignment surgery, the testicles are usually removed, and the skin of the foreskin and penis is usually inverted. It's flat, preserving blood and nerve supplies to form a fully sensitive vagina. Courts in the U.S. generally apply the law. This is why we read World News Daily Report. Generally apply the law to the place where the injury occurred, not the law of the state where the court is located. Law in the state of Baja California, because Baja California is its own state, currently limits damage, liability, and personal injury to a maximum of 95,000 Mexican pesos, or approximately $5,000. So. And she was out for 13,000 Mexican pesos, which was approximately $700. So that leaves a little bit of money left over for a burger.
It's the only meat she has left.
Oh, man. Well, that was a good one.
No, that was
a little difficult to get through. I was going to say hard to get through, but not anymore. But
oh, but pun intended. Oh boy, this is great. I drank about maybe a third of my mead. I'm all set now.
Good stuff. World News Daily Report. You know, they never cease to amaze us.
I actually was
fill out that survey again.
I did go to Press Herald earlier and tried to find something that Gillian wrote. You know what though? 99% of the stories she writes are like real news.
So we can't use it.
They're not.
Oh yeah, there she is, Gillian Graham.
There, some are crazy. They're not Two Bob's crazy though. That's the problem.
Nothing about Pyrex. Thunderstorms and downpours usher in cold front.
Vintage Pyrex.
Crash on Turnpike in Scarborough caused traffic delays.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Driver charged with felony OUI after trying to elude deputies on foot. I don't know what that means.
Lame.
Destructive downburst made its impact obvious. Downed trees, wrecked boats, lost power. Yeah.
Hey, listen, Gillian. I assume you're listening to this podcast because we followed you on Twitter. But we're going to need you to up the craziness. We're going to make her the next Katie Couric. But in order to do that, she's going to have to get more exposure on the Two Bobs by writing more fake news. That's the way you got to do it.
Limerick man injured when his car hits a rock and flips in Limington.
Nice.
Oh, too funny. Well, that's episode 70. We don't really know the title just yet, but
no, I already came up with it.
Robert is a pretentious asshole.
Bob K is a pretentious asshole.
Okay, or bag of dicks. I don't know.
Bob K is a bag of dicks. Can you, if you have a telephone, can you call us?
Yeah. I noticed that you had a phone number.
That we do, elderly listener. We are looking for some voicemails if you'd like to leave us one. And that number that you can dial on your mobile phone is 530-882-BOBS.
I got to get a paper towel.
I see. You got Triscuit shit everywhere, which is 530-882-2627. And you can find us on our interweb page, which is at...
I'm coming. Sorry, I made a mess.
Right.
Okay, so our website is thetwobobs.com, www.thetwobobs.com, and you can check out all of our links to our social feeds. You can look at the beer we've been drinking. You can listen to the episode there. A lot of good stuff.
All the episodes, yep. Everything is there. Everything you want to.
It's the epicenter of this whole operation. Fuck this mead, by the way. Don't drink it.
You've been hot and cold on it this whole episode.
Unless you think, God, I really want some really sweet sugary wine that also gives me nightmares.
Honey wine,
gets mango in it and has the creepy demon on the front. Has nutrition facts. I should have, if I had seen those nutrition facts, I would have known immediately something was wrong because nobody puts that shit on beer. Ingredients. Jesus.
Too funny.
It doesn't even have a Surgeon General. Oh, no, it does. Yeah, never mind. It has a government
one. Well, it's got honey in it. You really shouldn't give that to infants.
That's all it says. Don't feed deer. Please don't feed the small children because of the honey.
Nobody under 1 year of age.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the alcohol. It's just, you know, there's too much honey for the children.
Funny. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. Oh, words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and just do it.